everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us, it's Ariel and...
Raylene, hello.
Woo, hello. So, the first thing we just have to acknowledge, I was listening to the episode early this morning as I was going to make it go live, and I realized that instead of introducing the podcast as, hello everyone, it's Books Unbound, Raylene said, hello everybody, welcome to Books Unbucket.
I was lost.
Which is the name of the mini podcast that we do for our Patreon. So, like, it's not completely out of no. Imagine if you had just for no reason said Books Unbucket, that would have been fantastic.
It'd been confusing.
But we didn't notice. Like, I didn't notice because we recorded it together, obviously. Yeah. Like, we recorded it. We neither of us noticed. We just recorded the whole episode. And there was nothing that my brother could do when he edited it. So he just posted it. And then I heard it this morning. And I was like, well, there you go.
You know what? We're not perfect. And that's fine.
Well, I hope that everyone out there is doing okay. It's April 25th, the day that we're recording this, and Raylene and I, before hitting record, were just complaining about spring. We're both like, spring is too difficult. It's too messy. Some days are hot, some days it's snowing, some days it's raining, and then it's summer again. Too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Too much. How are you doing, Raylene? How's your life going over there?
Pretty crazy, but I'm surviving.
I was thinking maybe we should add to our intro, from coast to coast. Because I really... I realized that you're literally in BC and I'm literally in Nova Scotia.
That's
like,
true.
We could not be farther away and still be in the same country.
That's pretty true.
So anyway, that's just a little fun joke for you there. What else do I have to talk about? Oh, yes. The last elephant in the room is my bookshelves.
Oh, yes.
I need to talk about my bookshelves for a minute because last episode or the episode before that, I don't remember, I said that when this episode went live, my bookshelves would be complete. Mm-hmm. They would be done and ready. Well, they're not. But it is not for lack of trying, everyone. So I took it to heart. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I'm custom building these shelves. So I am doing, Ariel Bissett is doing, every step of this goddamn process. And as you will see in a video that I will be posting soon, please watch that video when it comes out because this has been too much work. So anyways, I applied or affixed all of the brackets to the wall that are going to hold up the shelves. And that took way too long. It was insanely difficult, really, to get them all straight and the right distance apart.
Yeah, that stresses me out a lot. I never want to have to do that.
It was really intense. In the end, I did figure it out, but it was pretty wild. I literally went out and bought, like, a level laser. Have you seen those before?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I had to buy a laser level because I was like, I don't know what a straight line is anymore, and I don't want my books to all fall over. So, yeah, anyway, it was very intense. But then I was like, all right, now it's just time to quickly stain the old books, slap a layer of polyurethane on there to finish them, and then put my books on there. Well, what the podcast and me did not foresee was that I am now a deeply dedicated woodworker.
Whoa, nobody saw that coming.
I have gotten so deep into the world of wood finishing. So there are many steps to the woodworking skill, obviously. Mm-hmm. Part one, designing it. So you're designing your piece of furniture. That for me was very easy because they're straight pieces of wood. It's just shelves, right? Step two, cutting and building the thing. Again, they're straight pieces of wood. Me and my dad cut them because they're so long. Each shelf is about 8 feet long. I couldn't hold it by myself. So my dad and I cut them. But again, all we had to do was cut a straight line at the end of it. Yeah. So that was not hard. Then the next step is sanding. And again, sanding my mom did for me because she is very good at sanding. And this was at the same time that I was doing my hardwood floors. So she was like, I can just sand these shelves while you do that huge thing. And I was like, okay, thank you. So she sanded them. So then once a woodworker is done all of those things, you would think you're nearly done. No, 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 my friends. Not even close. You're not even, you're like halfway. You're like halfway done. The thing is freaking built. It's in front of you. It's soft because you've sanded it. But the wood finishing takes approximately 83 years. So I wanted to do these right. I want them to look amazing. I want them to be really beautiful. I want to be really proud of them. And I don't want to be like 3 years from now wishing I'd put a little bit more effort in. Definitely. Right? I want them to be like good forever. So I started to do a lot of research, and boy, did that lead me down a tunnel, a deep, deep hole, a hole I cannot escape from now. I've learned so many techniques about staining and polyurethane adhesion, and did you know you could sand polyurethane? Not only can you, you should. And I've learned about mineral spirits. What the hell is that? I can barely tell you. It's that a toxic chemical that... doesn't sound like
it belongs in woodworking. I'll tell you that much.
Me and my mineral spirits, I also... Oh my God. I created my own custom stain blend because I...
What a nerd.
I am. I've become a wood nerd. Because, like, I had these two stains. I had special walnut and dark walnut. Really, dark walnut was too dark. And special walnut was a little too orange.
A little too special.
And I thought... if I mixed them, it could be the perfect blend. So I literally was tinkering around. I was like 25% dark walnut, 75%, two parts this, one part that. I made my mix. It was simple. 50%, 50% of the two. It's the most beautiful color. So I did two coats of the stain. But of course, I've got to do both sides of the shelf. Mm-hmm. That makes it kind of hard. So I have now completely finished one side of the shelves. Mm-hmm. I have now yesterday flipped them all over because I gave them an extra day to dry. Yeah. I'm so paranoid that like when I turn them over, they'll get damaged. So I gave them an extra day. Now I've turned them all over and have started doing the polyurethane on the top side. So they will be done tomorrow. Because I'm on a very specific schedule. Basically, I thought you could just do all of these things in a day, but I do a layer of polyurethane, let it dry for an entire day.
Oh my God.
Sand it, do another layer of polyurethane, sand it. Every time my sandpaper gets really, I'm like care about sandpaper now. All right. I used a 400 when I should have used a 600. I almost cried.
I don't even know what that means, but like I believe in you.
I mean, now I've got a 1500 grit sandpaper and it's just like a smooth sheet of paper. I was literally reading, because basically as you get smoother and smoother and your wood is getting softer and softer and you're almost there, you need a finer and finer grain, right? And I'm reading all these blogs and like I'm deep in the community now, and everyone's talking about like, what do you use as your final like sandpaper level? And I'm using 1500. I'm pretty happy with the 1500, but there's people out there using steel wool. There was one person I was reading and they're like, oh, these people that were so in agreement with them that were like, oh, I used paper bags. They have approximately a 5,000 level. And I was like, a paper bag? They've thought of everything.
Whoa, innovation.
So anyways, all of that to say, today I'm doing the second coat of polyurethane on the second side of the shelves. And then tomorrow I'll do the final coat. I will have them all in place. Mm-hmm. What's also really funny though is that the brackets, where the shelves will live, perfect drying racks, it turns out. So yeah. That's where they're drying. So they'll be done tomorrow, but then I will not put a book on there for at least a week. Because this was the other thing I was reading about all of this stuff, and some people, you know, the really, really fancy wood makers who are like making $3,000 tables or whatever, they're like, I don't put anything on there for like 3 weeks because I want it to fully set. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna wait a week.
Yeah,
that'll be loads. Because it is dry after 24 hours. Yeah. Like it is dry, but yeah. I'm just gonna let it cure for there's a difference, it turns out, between drying and curing. Everyone who's listening to the podcast right now is like, are we listening to a woodworking podcast? No, guys, it's still Books Unbound. Ariel's just gone far too down. But anyways, I just wanted to give this big update because I have learned so much and I am so proud of them. Like genuinely so proud. I cannot wait, Raylene, for you to come over and feel my bookshelf.
I know. I want to touch that smooth wood.
Exactly. Like glass, everyone. Like glass. That's what woodworkers... Did you know that that's what woodworkers aim towards? They want their wood to feel like glass. So, I'm trying my best, but I'm really, really proud of them. I've been having so much fun doing them, and I think I'm really glad that I've taken the extra time to do them because my books are so important to me, you know? And, like, having them in kind of this beautiful place that I'm so proud of is going to be sick. All right. Awesome. So 2 weeks from now, because we record 2 episodes at a time, 2 weeks from now will be the next update, and everyone will know. Did I succeed? Did they fall apart? Did my books get all destroyed? We will tune in.
Gosh, that sounds so stressful, but none of that is going to happen. It's going
to
be fine.
No, it's going to be good. So, it's now time to talk about books.
Freaking finally, my dudes.
Half an hour into the podcast, I'm finally done talking about woodworking. It is now time. let's start with a book haul. Because Raylene, apparently you have a book haul. Everyone is what is going on? First of all, you said at the beginning of the year that you were only going to buy those, like, I forget, 5 books that you wanted. And then, but like, unless they were thrifted, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then in April, you said you weren't going to spend any money on anything. And we allowed that you did one trip to Value Village because they were 50% off and your mom had given you cash.
That's true.
So it didn't count. But now we're like, what's going on?
Okay, so... The only reason I have a book haul again is because I went to a different thrift store. And it was like a cheap thrift store. So it was cheaper than Value Village. And actually, it's kind of funny. I'm going to Value Village later today just because I have stuff to drop off. But since I'm going to be there, I'm going to be like, well, I have to at least take a peek. So, I mean, my no buying in April has like, I wouldn't say has fallen apart because I've definitely, like, I haven't bought things that I really don't need, like new clothes and like new shoes and like just dumb stuff. You know, books are not dumb stuff. This $1 book I bought was worth it to me. So first, I'll start.
I will say I did buy a pair of new shoes. I bought some black Converse, all black, black rubber, black fabric.
Oh, that's really cool.
They are freaking gorgeous. I'm very happy about that decision.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Okay, my book haul is super random because, like I said, I just went to a thrift store and I just kind of looked around and I found lots of good books for my friends, oddly enough. Like, they had some good Celeste Ng. They had a nice copy of Dune. Oh, cool. And so, like, I got books for my friends, but there wasn't a whole lot for me, but I found a couple of random ones. So, first one I got is The Weight of the Stars by Kay Ankrum. I don't know. You've probably seen this cover.
I don't think I have, actually. Oh! Tell me about it.
I don't really know much about what it's about, but it seems cool. I've just seen it floating around on Goodreads for a while. Let's see. I'll just read the first bit of the synopsis. Ryan Bird dreams of traveling across the stars, but a career in space isn't an option for a girl who lives in a trailer park on the wrong side of town. So Ryan becomes her circumstances and settles for acting out and skipping school with her delinquent friends. One day she meets Alexandria, a furious loner who spurns Ryan's offer of friendship. After a horrific accident leaves Alexandria with a broken arm, the girls are brought together despite themselves, and Ryan learns her secret. Alexandria's mother is an astronaut who volunteered for a one-way trip to the edge of the solar system.
Whoa.
So it has to do with space and stuff, and I think that that's cool. And just flipping through it, it looks like it'll be a really quick read, and all the chapter headings are like time names. So like this one says 2 days and then one of them says 30 minutes and another one says 1 hour, and I'm like, what does this mean? It just seems very like fast paced and interesting, so I decided to pick that one up and I'll give it a go one day, maybe not soon, but it feels good to have it. It'll look nice on my shelf.
Is it YA?
One and the next book I'm gonna say are both YA. Cool. And it's funny because I haven't like dipped into YA in a long time.
I know. So, I think the same. We haven't really been reading YA. You'd almost think we weren't young adults anymore.
I know. But I was just thinking, you know what? Maybe like I'll give some modern YA a try and see what's going on these days, because we kind of fell out of love with YA a little bit.
Yeah.
But there could still, obviously there's still good stuff out there.
Exactly.
We just haven't been looking for it. So,
yeah.
But the next book I've got here is another one that I've heard just so many good things about. And that's With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo.
Oh, yes.
We've talked about this a bit.
Yes. Yeah. It's because I got that book, but I'm scared because there's pregnancy in it.
Yes, yes. Although someone, I think someone messaged us because they were like, the main character isn't actually pregnant. She just has a baby. So it's
that's
a little different.
Same to
but
me. That's the same to
same
me.
To Ariel. Yeah,
same
that's
thing.
What I mean. And I personally find that kind of stuff very interesting. So I was like, you know what? And I've heard that this this book has a lot to do with cooking as well,
yes.
Which I think is really cool. So I'm interested in cooking, and I love watching cooking shows and reading about cooking and stuff. So actually, that leads perfectly into the next book that I got. I picked up Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. And this one that I got is a insider's edition. It has handwritten footnotes and afterthoughts, as it says. There's a bunch of bits that are just,
oh,
you know, like handwritten notes from Anthony Bourdain that he must have popped
cool.
in there after he'd written the book, which is really cool. One of my friends read this recently, and she was just like, this book was just so cool. Like, Anthony Bourdain, like, was... like such a mean kitchen guy, but like it was really interesting to read. And so
yeah.
ever since then I've been wanting to pick it up. And so yeah, so I managed to find that one. And then the last book I got, I only got this because it's
Uh-oh.
A cat book.
Uh-oh.
I'll show you the cover, and it's called Track of the Cat by Nevada Barr. And it's got this really weird cover. It's like an old hardcover
really
mystery.
Strange. Yeah.
And it's got like a cougar butt on the cover.
Yikes.
Like, it's just a strange thing. But I'll read you the synopsis, because I was like, you know what, I might read this one day. A stunning mystery set against the high country trails of the Guadalupe Mountains of West Texas, where the age-old battle of man against nature is fought with a frightening twist. Anna Pigeon has fled New York and her memories to find work as a ranger in the country's national parks. In the remote backcountry of West Texas, however, she discovers murder and violence. Fellow park ranger Sheila Drury is mysteriously killed, presumably by a mountain lion. I'm like, but is it a cat?
Yes.
But the deep claw marks Anna finds across Drury's throat and the paw prints surrounding the body are too perfect to be real. So it's like, I don't think it was a cat. But anyway, I thought that book sounded really silly, but I just had to give it a shout out because it was a cat book.
So all of those books were only $1 each?
I think the YA ones were $2 each because they're hardcovers. But
oh, but still, that's
the other
really
two
good.
Were one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Well, mm-hmm. Raylene, I'm not the one that you need to report to, you know? It's your own soul about buying your books, and if you're happy, I'm happy.
It's true.
Damn it.
I'm happy, okay?
Well, I have a couple books I would like to haul as well.
All right.
A couple books that I ordered and arrived. Hallelujah. Mm. So the first one I think I mentioned last time, or I mentioned the concept that I want to try reading some romance this summer. I think that would be a fun experiment for me. Yeah, I mean, we sort of just, you just mentioned, we used to read a lot of YA. We don't really read much YA anymore. And it's not, I don't even think it's an intentional choice, really. It's not like one day I woke up and I was like, nah, I don't want to read YA anymore. It was just sort of like I was gravitating towards different things.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's how it goes for most readers. Like, I think most readers just, you know, they go to read their next book and they have something they're in the mood for, or something they want to try, or something they want to experiment with, which is how I read. Like, I guess how we always say that is like, we're mood readers. We're just, what are we in the mood for? However, the flip side of that is that sometimes you then just kind of stick in your own genres and you don't really experiment out of it. And so I was like, I don't really read romance. I am not opposed to romance at all because I love romantic movies. Like, rom-coms are probably my favorite genre of movie. They bring me so much joy. And I watch a lot of, like, my feel-good movies are period dramas, which are always romances, or 80s teen movies, which are always romances.
So,
I clearly love different types of romance stories, but I just don't read them. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's probably because I haven't read that many of them, so my brain doesn't think to even try them. So this summer, I really want to try out some of, some romance books. And also, we did a Patreon, a Books on Bucket episode, where we talked about, like, what are our reading plans for this summer, and romance was on my list. So, I've got a couple already we've talked about before. Beach Read I bought, and Flat Share I own. But I reached out to a friend of mine who reads almost exclusively romance. And I was like, if you could recommend me one romance book, what would it be? And she mentioned this book to me. I didn't even look it up. I just bought it, and it arrived, and it is Twice Shy by Sarah Hoggle. Hoggle? Huh. I'm not too sure. Have you ever heard of this book?
I have
not heard. No, me neither. But it's the set, I didn't even read the synopsis. When it arrived, I obviously read it, and I know why she recommended it to me.
Okay.
So it says, Mabel Parrish has always been a dreamer and a hopeless romantic, but living in her own world has long been preferable to dealing with the disappointments of real life. So when Mabel inherits a charming house in the Smokies from her great aunt Violet, she seizes the opportunity to make a fresh start. Yet when she arrives, it seems her troubles have only just begun. Not only is the house falling apart around her, but she isn't the only inheritor. She has to share everything with Wesley Kohler, the groundskeeper, who's as grouchy as he is gorgeous. So like, that's so cringe. And it turns out he has a very different vision for the property's future. So sounds great. Like, if that was what a movie was pitched at, I would watch that movie. So, I'm very excited to read it. I think it's going to be fun and cute. It's, you know, it's not even 300 pages long. It's 290 pages. It's got a lot of dialogue. I think I'm going to have a fun time with it. So, definitely going to read that sometime this summer. The next one I have is, I'm very excited about this one, and I will definitely let everyone know how it goes. We Will Not Cancel Us by Adrienne Marie Brown. Cool cover, right?
I like that a lot.
Very bright pink. So, this is, I wouldn't even... What would I call this? I think it's really just mainly an essay. It's 80 pages, maybe novella length. It's nonfiction. And the way I found this is the randomest thing. I was watching some clip. I forget, some like little news thing on like YouTube or something. And they were interviewing a woman and she had this book on her desk in her clip.
I love that.
So she didn't even recommend it. The clip was not about this.
It was just there.
It was just there. And I was so interested by the cover. I was like, wow, that's really bold. It's just a bright pink. I'll obviously post it on the Instagram. I was like, what's that about? So the subline is, and other dreams of transformative justice. So Adrienne Marie Brown is a Black woman. I think she lives in the States, but do I know? Maybe I don't know. I kind of just got excited about it when I found out about it and I bought it. But like, I'll just read the back since I haven't read it yet. I don't want to get it wrong. It says, cancel or call out culture is a fraught topic these days, originating as a way for marginalized and disempowered people to address harm and take down powerful abusers, often with the help of social media. It is seen by some as having gone too far. But what is too far when you're talking about imbalances of power and patterns of harm? And what happens when people in social movements direct our righteous anger inward at one another? In We Will Not Cancel Us, movement mediator Adrienne Marie Brown reframes the discussion for us in a way that points to possible paths beyond our impasse. Yes, right here it says, it critiques, most critiques of cancel culture come from outside the milieus that produce it, sometimes even from its targets. However, Brown explores the question from a Black, queer, and feminist viewpoint that gently asks, how well does this practice serve us? Does it prefigure the sort of world we want to live in? And if it doesn't, how do we seek accountability and redress for harm in ways that reflect our values? Doesn't that sound great?
That sounds great.
It sounds really
good. I want
you
to read that right away so that you can know how it is.
Yes, I should. I will try and prioritize it. So I watched a couple of clips with her. She's done some interviews and stuff like that. She seems so fascinating and interesting. So, yeah, I thought it sounded awesome. Definitely excited for that one. Next up, I got a self-published poetry collection called The Purple Palace and Other Poems by Shayna Klee. This is a YouTuber that I follow. I keep watching YouTubers who are basically like living some of the lives I want to live. I have this massive problem, really, in where I have like 18 different lives I want to live and not too much time to live them in. So maybe I've got to just like live vicariously sometimes. But Shayna Klee is American, like born in America, but she's been living in Paris for the past few years. She's an artist and she is so interesting and a writer, obviously, but also a YouTuber. And she just kind of chronicles her life, does these really vulnerable type vlogs that kind of show what it's like to be a foreigner, but also to like be an artist in Paris and stuff. I love her videos. I found them pretty recently, like only a couple months ago. I've really been enjoying them. And she just announced that she had this poetry collection come out. And I was like, well, be damned if I'm not going to support that beautiful endeavor. So I haven't read it. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I did buy it.
That's awesome.
And then I have two more books to talk about. And the second one is the book I'm currently reading. So it's a perfect segue for us. Ooh. These were both sent to me by Penguin Press. So I feel like I'm supposed to say that. But I would have bought them. I would have bought them anyways. The first one is The Climate Diet, 50 Simple Ways to Trim Your Carbon Footprint by Paul Greenberg. It's a really cute, slim.
Another great cover.
Yeah, it is. It goes with the pink one. Okay, give me a number between 1 and 50, Raylene. How are we going to trim your carbon footprint?
24.
Here we go. Kill the vampire. Pardon?
okay, go on.
Each one is just like a little paragraph. So here we go. In recent years, manufacturers have added standby modes to electronic devices, a feature that enables them to power up quickly. While this may be convenient for the consumer, it can be incredibly wasteful in terms of both energy and money. Standby power, also known as vampire power, adds up to 4.6% of America's annual CO2 emissions, costing consumers an average $165 a year. Televisions, computers, and games consoles are the biggest offenders. Though it may take a few minutes here and there, you can put a stake in the vampire by fully powering down electronics at the end of the day or during any lengthy break between uses. Using power strips that allow you to turn off multiple devices at the same time will make the process of powering up and down more time efficient. We all just learned something here.
That's awesome.
That was so cool. Wow. So that's the gist of the book. It's literally just numbered 1 to 50, and it gives you like that, like tips. And then at the end, there's a little section on resources and stuff. So that's awesome. And then the final book that I'm hauling slash we're now segueing into what I'm currently reading. Oh my God, really? I was so excited when Penguin Press emailed me with this list because they have Felicity by Mary Oliver. Ooh. Her newest poetry collection. Ow, ow. So yeah, I started reading this, which is kind of fun because obviously the last book I read was a Mary Oliver as well.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm partway through and I wanted to read you a poem. Here we go. It's called Storage. When I moved from one house to another, there were many things I had no room for. What does one do? I rented a storage space and filled it. Years passed. Occasionally, I went there and looked in, but nothing happened, not a single twinge of the heart. As I grew older, the things I cared about grew fewer, but were more important. So one day, I undid the lock and called the trash man. He took everything. I felt like the little donkey when his burden is finally lifted. Things! Burn them! Make a beautiful fire! More room in your heart for love for the trees. For the birds who own nothing, the reason they can fly. Thank you, Mary Oliver. I thought you'd like that one because you love Maria Kondo. That had real Maria Kondo vibes. I specifically picked that one for you, Raylene.
Oh, wow. I was like waiting for there to be a black snake.
I know.
But then there wasn't.
I know. I haven't read one yet that has a black snake in it. But this collection is split in two. Part one is called The Journey, and it just seems to be like ruminations on life and nature. Mm. And then part two is Love, and that's the part I just got to. So anyways. Happy to be reading Mary Oliver as always. What are you currently reading, my pal?
Gosh, what am I currently reading? I feel like I've just been all over the place. Okay, so I am finally listening to the final Mistborn audiobook. The Bands of Mourning is the last book in the Mistborn series. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add. It's kind of, I found this secondary trilogy to just be very average. Like I've mentioned before, I feel like it's just not high stakes enough. Like the first series is just so much more is happening and so much more is riding on like what the main characters are doing. But the second series is fun. It's, you know, I laugh a lot while listening to these and they're easy to listen to. And I'm happy to be getting to the end of the series because I've been wanting to read more fantasy, but I really wanted to finish this series before I started a new fantasy series or, you know, even started just another standalone fantasy. So once this is done, I think I'm going to have a summer of fantasy, and I'm pretty pumped about that. So that's one book I'm currently reading. The other book I'm currently reading is so random. I've already told you about this, but I am I'm reading Watership Down by Richard Adams, which...
Tell them why. I love the reason why.
Oh, yeah. The reason why is so great. So I have this friend who, first of all, just loves Watership Down so much. And we were out for a walk the other day, and there was a bunny just like... on some grass right next to the sidewalk we were walking on. And I was like, and he was just stopped kind of staring at us. And my friend was like, oh my gosh, like every time I see a rabbit, it just makes me think of Watership Down and all of their thoughts that they have. And like, oh, that's, she just was like, started raving about the book. So I was like, and earlier that day I had asked her, what's a great summer book I should read? Like, I wasn't currently reading anything at that time. And I just said, like, recommend me a book. Like, I want to borrow a book from you and read something. And then the rabbit thing happened. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to read Watership Down. And she's been telling me to read it for years. So I was like, you know what? I'll just do it. And I'm about a little over halfway through it now. And
cool. It's long,
it's
right?
Very long. It's big. 470 pages, the copy I'm reading. Ooh. So it's just, yeah, it's very long and quite dense and kind of slow moving, honestly. I've been reading it for, I feel like a week and a half or over about a week now anyway, and I'm just halfway through it. Actually, I feel like it's been two weeks now that I'm thinking about it. So it's very slow moving, but I am enjoying it. It just took me maybe 100 pages to really get into the story. Because for those who don't know, it's about a bunch of rabbits who, well, the main character is this guy named Hazel. He's not a guy, he's a rabbit. But this rabbit named Hazel is the main character. And his brother, whose name is Fiver, he is kind of like a prophet rabbit. Like, he has these feelings and nobody ever listens to him because they kind of think he's crazy, but he says something terrible is going to happen, we have to leave. And so Hazel's like, all right, and they try and get everybody to leave, but most of them don't want to. So there's a group of, you know, maybe six or seven rabbits that all decide to leave, and they go to try and find a new home. So it's all about them trying to find a new place to live. And so the journey of them trying to find this new place to live kind of takes a while. But then once they find a new place and kind of get settled, then that's when all the real action starts going down. And there's encounters with other animals and encounters with other rabbits. And it sounds so lame, but it's getting really stressful. Because I know that bad things are going to happen. Whenever people talk about Watership Down, they're like, oh, there's that terrifying cartoon from the 70s.
Says it's sad or bad. Like, not bad as in bad writing, just like bad things happen.
Yeah, and I was actually looking to see if there was an audiobook, and I was just googling, I googled Watership Down and was about to type audiobook, but the first thing that came up was Watership Down deaths. And I was like, dear God, no, okay. I don't want to know this stuff. So, yeah, it's like just scary. I'm glad I didn't read this book as a kid, because I feel like it would have really freaked me out. But it's quite good, though. I definitely am enjoying it. So by the next time we record, I should be finished it, and then I'll tell you more. But yeah, that's all I'm reading right now.
That's cool, though. I think that's a cool pick, because it's such a classic. It's always neat to hear one of my friends' opinions on a classic, you know?
And I haven't been reading many classics lately, so it just kind of felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm in the mood for a classic. Ugh, the problem is I'm in a million moods. That's my constant woe. Well, the next question is, have you finished anything you want to talk about? I have not.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I think I've read a couple of things. Let me just... It's funny, normally I bring all of my books and surround myself with them, but then this morning I was kind of running around like a crazy person, so I'm just checking my computer. Okay, so I haven't really read much. I read volume 3 of Goodnight Pun Pun, because I was just like, you know what, I need something that's just, I mean, it's not like Pun Pun is like a happy story, but like it just like kind of gets in my heart in a way that just makes me happy, even though it's like kind of depressing. Yeah. But I just love Pun Pun so much. He's such an innocent little soul. So I read that and really enjoyed it. And I do have, like I mentioned before, I got volume 3 and 4. So I have volume 4 queued up to read probably after I'm done Watership Down. It'll be my quick read after I'm done.
Restorative? Restore your sadness?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably just make me more sad, but that's okay. But then the only other... Well, did I ever mention that I finished reading Emma? I can't remember if I mentioned that last time we recorded.
I don't think you had finished it yet.
I don't think so. But yeah, I finished Emma, so that's another thing I did.
Our book club episode will be up, if not at by the end of April, at least in the first week of May. I think God, things are... Me and you have to find a time to record.
I know. April's almost over, my friend.
Yeah, I'm very excited for to hear everyone's thoughts on it. Because, you know, we haven't ever done a classic for the book club yet.
I know. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about, but we'll see. It'll be fun. And then the last book I read was actually another audiobook. And it was poetry. So this is fun.
What?
I know.
Pardon? Who?
Well... As I've mentioned before, I'm kind of behind on my like Goodreads challenge that I've challenged myself to read 125 books this year. I'm now four books behind. I had managed to get to 2 books behind, but now I'm back to 4 books behind.
Damn it.
But anyway, so in my attempt to do this, I was looking through my audiobook app and wanted to find something quick. And I came across Homie by Denez Smith. And this is the same author who wrote Don't Call Us Dead, which I actually read last year. Also by the audiobook.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, listening to their poetry through audiobook has got to be the best way, because I can't imagine feeling as much emotion and like powerfulness as when Denez Smith is reading the poetry to you. So I loved it. Like it was funny because I was listening to the poetry while getting ready in the morning before work, and I was just like, oh my God. But this collection was really kind of fun and humorous as well. It's called Homie because it's about friendship. That's the main theme of the poems.
Cool.
And it was just great. It was really powerful in a lot of ways, but then like I said, also quite funny. And I don't know if the humor would come across quite as strongly if you were just reading it. It's tough to say because obviously I didn't read it, but the audiobook was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I just
How long is that audiobook?
It was like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Yeah. So, I've never listened to an audiobook for a poetry collection before, but I'm like, wouldn't that just be like 40 minutes? I'm like, that would be so fast.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how lengthy the poems are. If it was Mary Oliver, it'd probably be a little quicker, because I know some of her poems seem quite short, but Denez Smith's were like stories. A lot of
them. She had this like really short one that was, I mean, here's the first poem in her collection. It's called Don't Worry. Things take the time they take. Don't worry. How many roads did St. Augustine follow before he became St. Augustine? Thank you, Mary Oliver. that's just a short thought from Mary Oliver.
That's funny.
God damn it, I love her. Apparently she's like the best-selling poet in America right now, or has been for a while. God. Thank God. Cool. More people need to read her.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though. Can you say the name of the author again?
Yeah, Denez Smith.
Denez Smith. All right. People need to check out Denez Smith because, and specifically the audiobook. Where'd you get the audiobook? Is it just Audible or is it available?
It was on Scribd is where it from, so but check your library. It might have it.
Yeah, probably does. If it's on Scribd, like the problem is with Audible originals, like they won't ever be on the library or anything.
Definitely.
That's dark. It's a debate for another time, but it's very interesting because Audible, if you do an Audible original, they pay the author really well, which is like awesome, right? The author gets paid really well to give exclusivity rights to Amazon, but then that book cannot be available at the library or anywhere else. Not as a physical, the physical thing can still be available. Yeah. Anyway, things I think about all of the time. Okay. So we did our book haul. We did what we're currently reading. We did what we're reading now. Now it's time to jump into book news. I have so much book news, so I'm going to try and go through it a little bit quickly here because there's far too much of it. Number one, Ocean Vuong has announced his new book. So I think that this is really exciting. We read his first collection, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, obviously, and you and I, you know what? We didn't love it. We're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
But we both were excited by him as an author, I think. We're both excited to see what he does next.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The main reason I want to talk about this is because he has another incredible title.
Okay.
On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous? Come on. That's good. I was like, how do you even match that? Maybe he has. Time is a Mother. Whoa. Deep. What? Go on, Ocean. Time is a Mother. Wow. That guy. So anyway, that's just exciting. I think that that's really cool. And he didn't post, because he just posted this on his Instagram. So I don't know anything. He didn't say like, the date.
Oh, okay. Does it have a cover?
No. He just posted, it was kind of a cool image, cool Instagram. I recommend people go check out his Instagram, but it was like just the printed manuscript with a pen on it. And nice. I was like, oh man, that's so cool. Next piece of news. Sally Rooney's new book has a cover. Let me bring it up for you, Raylene. I'll pull it up on my phone so that we can hear. You can tell the people what you think. You can imagine the cover for Normal People, right? Yeah. And Conversations with Friends.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Sally Rooney book cover. Here we go. Big news. The book is called Beautiful World, Where Are You? Very moody. And this is the cover.
Oh.
It's kind of
okay.
It's different, isn't it? It's different than her other ones.
It's a little strange.
It is a little strange. But it is cool. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Sally Rooney is obviously one of the biggest authors publishing right now. A lot of eyeballs on her work. And so I think it's always exciting when we get a cover reveal. This next piece of news is perhaps the most important piece of news.
Bring it on.
Oh my god. I mean, I'm just so freaking excited. We got more news about Otessa Moshfegh's next book. And you know what's so dumb about my obsession with Otessa Moshfegh? I've only read one of her books. What am I talking about?
I was actually
about?
Just thinking about this the other day because I was like,
I'm full of crap.
I've kind of been itching to read Eileen lately.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think I might read it. And then I was like, I'll have read more Otessa Moshfegh than Ariel if I read that.
That's very dark. That's really, really dark. I hate it.
But I still feel like you're a bigger fan of her, potentially, even if I have
read
two.
That's all that matters to me. That my for some reason, my fangirling is slightly above your fangirling.
It's definitely bigger.
But this is, it sounds absolutely insane. I think I actually read this to you, Reese, maybe last time we played Stardew Valley. But here we go. The book is called Lapvona. What that means, I have no idea. It comes out next summer, so not this one. It is, I mean, according to this article, lithub.com, according to this, this is the one she wrote during the pandemic. So,
we're getting it.
And this is what it says the synopsis is. Set in the vanished medieval fiefdom of the same name, Lapvona, a motherless son and his bitter shepherd father must navigate dark times in their village, in which the only seeming check on the depravity of the local feudal lord is the witchy power of the village's blind midwife.
Oh my god.
So, what I will say is, I have no idea what any of that meant. That was so confusing. I think that that was a very strange synopsis to put out. And, like, the only thing I took from it was that it's set in medieval times.
And I really am digging that.
Yes. And that is enough to deeply, deeply excite me. Yeah, so anyway, I don't really get what it's about. A motherless son, a bitter shepherd father, navigate dark times in their village. Something about a local feudal lord, witchy power. I don't know. I don't get it, but I'm there for it. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's really cool when an author will, like, jump genres and, like, do something. Like, all of her books have been completely contemporary up until this point. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going to come. Like, I don't know if she, how it's going to be. Like, is she going to be as good? Probably. In my head, she will be, of course, flawless
at it. Of course.
But I think that's really, really awesome.
Absolutely.
I can't wait. Also, it's, by the time this episode comes out, I think it will be May.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in May is the 20th anniversary of A Knight's Tale starring Heath Ledger, me and my brother's favorite movie. And we're going to, like, do something special that day. We're going to, like, watch the movie and, like, I don't know, eat something that they eat in the movie or something. God, that movie's iconic.
That's so funny. When you said that it was May, I had no idea that that's where it was going. I didn't know that you knew the exact month that one of your favorite movies came out 20 years ago.
It was actually CJ who texted me, and he was like, hey, on May, I forget the actual date, but, like, on May whatever, it's the 20th anniversary. And I, like, freaked out, and I was like, oh my god, we have to watch the movie, we have to wear pale green, because they wear pale green to the ball in the movie, we gotta do this, and we were like, yes, it's happening. So anyway, that's what I think that's most so of my excitement about the medieval period comes from A Knight's Tale.
Absolutely.
Alright, I still have more news.
Oh my god, keep it going.
Indie Bookstore Day. Yesterday was Independent Bookstore store appreciation day. Maybe not appreciation, but basically. So this is just a day to celebrate independent bookshops. And obviously that was yesterday. By the time this episode comes out, it would have been a week ago. But it's never too late to celebrate your indie bookshop. So go and buy a book. If you're going to buy a book, go and buy it from your indie bookshop. And I was looking at some article on the CBC, and it said that Canada has over 275 indie bookshops. So no matter where you are, you've got a lot of choices to pick from.
It's true.
And this was one of, like, I always love supporting my indie bookshops. I haven't always been able to because, like, I've lived in a lot of rural places where the nearest bookshop is Indigo, right? It's like the big chains. And I still love, you know, you're at the mall, you're going to go to Indigo. But one of the great things during the lockdowns and the quarantines and the pandemics of this time has been just, I obviously should have realized this before, but I realized I could order books to be shipped to my house from an indie.
Absolutely.
I always thought, for some reason, my mind was like, Chapters is the one that I do that. I would never order a book online from Amazon, but like Chapters is fine. Yeah. So I would do Chapters. And then during this pandemic, I realized, like, actually, I think some shops didn't do that before and they started doing it during the pandemic because everyone had to adjust to the times. But yeah, you can also do that if you're still in lockdowns. Next piece of news, Shadow and Bone out on Netflix. Haven't watched it. Raylene hasn't watched it. We know nothing about it, but I knew people would yell at me if I didn't talk about it. And then the final piece of news, I really wanted to talk about this with you, Raylene. So on our last episode, we answered one of the questions, which was, how do we feel about book awards, book prizes, right? And we talked about how we see that they have value, but we're not really invested in them. And it's so funny because right after, I think it was because we had that really big conversation about it, I sort of like, maybe I want to get invested in a book prize. Like, maybe it would be really fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking, what would be a book prize? The women's prize is really cool. Maybe that would be the one. But then I was like, actually, I've always been sort of intrigued by the International Booker Prize. And I know the Vegetarian won that prize a couple years ago. And so I looked it up and they literally just announced their shortlist. So I wanted to just tell you the books that are on the shortlist because the cool thing about the International Booker Prize is this year you and I both had a goal to read at least 50% of the books we read be not American. And the International Booker Prize is books that were translated into English. So they're not from America. Excellent. I mean, it's a British prize. So here are les books. Is this here? Yes, here we go. All Night. No, not already off to a bad start. At Night, All Blood is Black by David Diop. I've heard good things about this one, actually. It says, Alpha and Mademba are two of the many Senegalese soldiers fighting in the Great War. Together, they climb dutifully out of their trenches to attack France's German enemies whenever the whistle blows, until Mademba is wounded and dies in a shell hole with his belly torn open. And so I don't think I'll read that one because reading about the war makes me want to cry. But I've heard really good things. The next one, The Dangers of Smoking in Bed by Mariana Enriquez. I should also say the translators, because the translators are always a big part of this prize. Yeah. So the first one is translated by from French by Anna Moscovakis, hopefully. And then this one is translated from the Spanish by Megan McDowell. We've got, this one didn't give me a synopsis. Well, people are going to have to look that one up. I think that it's a short story collection.
Yeah, I've heard of this one. I don't know where it popped up.
It's got a cool
recently.
Cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one, I have heard literally nothing but good things about. When We Cease to Understand the World. It has an absolutely stunning cover. It's by Benjamin Lavatut, translated from the Spanish by Adrian Nathan West. And what's it say? An extraordinary nonfiction novel. What the hell does that mean?
Hey?
weaves a web of associations between the founders of quantum mechanics and the evils of two world wars, says John Banville for The Guardian. So I don't know, guys, if we got to check these things out. Okay, the next one I've heard really good things about. The Employees by Olga Raven. Great name. Yeah. Oh, I wish I was named Olga Raven.
That's a great
such
name.
A good name. Translated from Danish by Martin Atkin. So this is the crew of the 6,000 ship consists of those who were born and those who were made, those who will die and those who will not. When the ship takes on a number of strange objects from the planet New Discovery, the crew is perplexed to find itself becoming deeply attached to them, and human and humanoid employees alike start aching for the same things. Warmth and intimacy, loved ones who have passed, shopping and child rearing, our shared faraway Earth, which now only persists in memory. So it's supposed to be this like really strange sci-fi that's like very inventive. I know. And the cover, I love it. The problem is I can't find a place that sells it in Canada. I tried to buy it yesterday and I failed. So I'm going to have to try again. Okay. Again, this next one. In Memory of Memory by Maria Stepanova, translated from Russian by Sasha Dugdale, a compendious family scrapbook that tells the story of a turbulent century Russian life. So this one sounds really cool. Do you remember a while ago, Raylene, we had a book recommendation that was like books that aren't like are from the perspective of an inanimate object?
Yeah.
So this sounds really like it could fit that.
Oh, okay.
It says, with the death of her aunt, the narrator is left to sift through an apartment full of faded photographs, old postcards, letters, diaries, and heaps of souvenirs. And it's like this, it says it's a mixture of essay, fiction, memoir, travelogue, and historical documents. And it's like going through each item in this person's life and thinking about the cultural history of those items. It sounds amazing. And then the last one is The War of the Poor by Eric Vuillard, translated from French by Marc Polizotti. I feel like I'm announcing the Oscars. Translated from the French. The War of the Poor is a, I'm pretty sure it's a retelling of a real person. Thomas Munzer, a complex and controversial figure who sided with neither Martin Luther nor the Roman Catholic Church. He addressed the poor directly. So I'm pretty sure it's a memoir, or not a memoir, a biography, I think. Maybe slightly fictionalized? I'm not sure.
Huh.
But that is the International Booker shortlist. I thought there were so many cool books on there that I wanted to shout them all out. And I thought maybe this is a prize you and I should think about.
Yeah, you know what? While you were reading off all of those titles, I came up with a crazy idea.
Do it. Tell me.
I think that I want to buy all of these books.
Right? I think it would be pretty cool if we did it and we were like...
I really
suddenly went back on all of everything we'd ever said and tried doing a prize, and then we could be so invested in who wins.
Yeah, like cause
how much time do we have though?
That's a great question. Like, can I really read 6 books in time?
Let me see when I'm pretty sure the winner isn't announced till June.
Okay.
Ooh, June 2nd. It's not loads of time. To be fair,
so I mean, like at best, maybe we could pick 3 of them and
read 3.
Because, I'm really gravitating towards The Dangers of Smoking in Bed.
Mm.
Employees sounds really good.
I really want to look at Employees. I really want to do In Memory of Memory, although that's the longest one on the list.
Oh, is it long?
How
long
I don't know it? How long it is. I just heard that it is kind of long.
Okay. And then I think When We Cease to Understand the World might be...
Yes, that's the other one that I'm also thinking that would be really
so
cool.
So I'm gonna look at Book Depository after this and sort of do some shopping maybe.
Yes.
I know I shouldn't, but I really want to now because I love the idea of being invested in a prize, and especially since this one is international, it fulfills exactly what I want to be doing, and it will expand my reading
a
lot more. Because
I really like that these were obviously all international books from around the world. We talk a lot about translated books here on the podcast, I think, especially Japanese and Korean books that you and I tend to pick up.
Yeah.
But I'm just so excited to read more international books, which is why I had that goal at the beginning of the year to read less American books, just because... I mean, there's so much out there. There's so much going on. So how about we don't commit to anything. We think about it.
Of course not.
And then the next time we record in 2 weeks, we'll do an update. We'll tell everyone if we decided to commit or not.
Yeah.
But this kind of goes with what we were talking about, about YA reading and stuff. Maybe we have never historically been award people, but what if we became award people?
Yeah,
there are a lot of cool awards out there. including, like, one prize that I do follow, but I follow it very, very peripherally, as in I don't even know who was nominated, and I don't really care who wins. I just, like, am excited. It's the Orwell Prize. Did you know that there's an Orwell Prize?
No.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, and it's for political books, like, books that have to do with politics, which makes a lot of sense for my man Orwell. But, I've never really, but I'm like, should I suddenly be invested in the Orwell Prize? I don't know. We actually got a message, I think Kaylee, who runs our social media, sent us this message that someone said, someone sent us this, I don't know if it was on Discord or on Instagram, listening to the pod right now, wanted to share some of my favorite awards. I love the Dylan Thomas Prize and the Jalak Prize. What is the Jalak Prize? Let me look that up. Book of the Year written by a writer of color, disrupting British publishing. So there are so many prizes to pick from, which I think is really cool. Maybe the International Booker can be our prize.
I think so, although the Book Depository doesn't have the employees in stock right now.
We have to find it. Maybe our library has it or something.
I'll check it out. Yeah, I'll look into it.
We'll have to keep looking. Well, Raylene, that I told you, I had a lot of book news. I wasn't that was a lot. Kidding. Raylene, it is now your turn, Ruben, it's time for some book olds.
Absolutely. So, okay, so I've got another Canadian book. Yeah, it's not, like, cool. Super old, but I also haven't read this author yet, but I'm planning to read it soon, or read this book soon. So it's called Eleanor Rigby by Douglas Copeland.
Oh, yeah.
He's an author that's been on my radar for a long time, but I've just never read him for some reason. Okay. I really don't know why. But this one, I'll just read you the synopsis. Eleanor Rigby is the story of Liz, a self-described drab, overweight, crabby, and friendless middle-aged woman, and her unlikely reunion with the charming and strange son she gave up for adoption. His arrival changes everything and sets in motion a rapid-fire plot with all the twists and turns we expect of Copeland. By turns funny and heartbreaking, Eleanor Rigby is a fast-paced read and a haunting exploration of the ways in which loneliness affects us all. So it sounds kind of, like, sad, but also potentially lighthearted and funny, and I feel like that's what Douglas Copeland is pretty well known for. And this book actually was picked by one of my friends for our book club recently, so I will be reading this sometime in the next month or two. We're a pretty low-key book club. We don't really set a date, so I don't know when I'm gonna read it, but I think it sounds like an interesting book, so I will keep you guys posted on this one.
That's awesome. Because you're talking about a Canadian book, and because Miriam Taves from the podcast is now an author of the podcast, I think, but it came from a book olds. Did we talk about All My Puny Sorrows? They're making a movie about it.
No.
We didn't. Okay, so this was some news that I saw a while ago because this is the reason I'm most excited. As everyone will know, I am absolutely obsessed with N with an E, the show, N with an E. Go watch it on Netflix right now. You have no excuse not to, everyone. So that show stars Amy Beth McNulty, who plays Anne. Okay. She is now going to be in the movie of All My Puny Sorrows. It has started filming in North Bay, Ontario. So that's really cool. And I have not heard of the director, but his name is Michael McGowan. I'm looking at the movies he's filmed. One was about hockey. So, hi, Canada. I see you there. But yes, so Amy Beth McNulty is going to be in the project, which I'm so excited about. The problem is we haven't read the book, so I don't know what character she plays or anything. But it also stars Allison Pill. Do you know her?
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, she's the drummer in Scott Pilgrim. If that helps anyone out. Also, it has Sarah Gaydon, who I haven't heard of, but she's Canadian. So far, all of these actors are Canadian, which is really cool. But she was also in Elias Grace. Is that how you pronounce it? Alias Grace?
Alias Grace?
Yeah. The Margaret Atwood thing. Mm-hmm. So she was the main character. She played Grace.
Awesome.
So I haven't seen that one. Apparently that's also on Netflix. Maybe I need to check that out. But so it sounds like it has a really good cast. All Canadian actors so far that I've seen. Obviously there's gonna be some Americans in there, but like starring mainly Canadian actors by a Canadian director. I think that's so cool. So that was a book news for it's your book cool. olds, really.
That's pretty interesting what you just did there.
Well, we have reached the end of this glorious episode. Thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us. We are off now to record our special mini bonus podcast, Books on Bucket, for Patreon, which reminds me, we had a little bit of Patreon news that I forgot to talk about earlier in the pod because I was so excited about all the other million things I was saying. We have started a new tier on our Patreon. We have heard from some people asking, like, is there a better way to support the podcast? Is there a way that I can do more? Obviously, the best and most important thing is that you just listen to the pod and you share it with your friends. Podcasts are still largely grown by word of mouth. People being like, hey, have you heard this podcast? Or sharing it on Instagram or whatever. So those things really matter. But if you're in the position that you are, you know, wanting to support a thing that you like, and we happen to be that thing, we'd heard some people who were like, can we do any more to help? And we realized, yeah, we only have the one $5 tier, and that's always going to be the main tier. That's going to be the main place where, like, if you give us $5 a month or less, if you sign up to the annual thing, what was it? It was like 16% less or 15% less.
Something like
that. I forget. You save some amount of money. You get like a month or two free every year. You'll get all of the bonus stuff that we do on there, our reading vlogs, our audiobook, and our Books on Bucket weekly episodes. But we were like, yeah, we could do a higher tier. So there's no pressure to sign up. We just wanted to mention that we now have this as an option. It's $15. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to give something fun and special for it, but we didn't want to like put it this a really high paywall behind any of our content. So what we're gonna do is, for anyone who signs up to that $15 tier, whether that's just for 1 month or for longer, we will put your name in our show notes to like thank you as our $15 patrons, in our show notes on the episodes that month, whatever month that you're part of the Patreon at that level. And secondly, this is the most hype thing, is that whenever you sign up, we will message you and we will ask you, what is your favorite book? And me and Raylene will send you a like 1 to 2 minute long video of us talking to you and recommending you a book based on your favorite book. So we thought that was like a really nice way to do this one-off thing where we get to like thank you personally, send you a book recommendation, the thing we do best. And so we're excited to launch it. It's up now. If you want to check it out, do it. If you don't want to, don't even worry about it, man. All right, well, we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.